Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you in church this morning. Wow. It is good to be back. For those of you who didn't notice, I've been away for a couple of weeks and had a great trip in terms of doing the schools tour stuff with Preston Centuolo and Reggie. For those of you who don't know Reggie Dabbs, he's arguably the number one youth communicator, certainly in America, arguably in the world, to high school age students, and speaks to well over 1 million kids a year, and Preston's not far off that. But it was great to go over and reciprocate in regards to our relationship, to go over and hang out with those guys, to speak in schools and some churches. So it's always good when you're the only white guy in a church and you sit on the stage with a 60, 80 voice gospel choir behind you. It's just sensational. So it was a great trip. Preston sends his love. And Michael, have we got that clip of Seth ready to go? Okay, so next year, what Preston, for those of you who don't realise, Preston is really strong about supporting Compass Church, and if he was in Australia, he would certainly be attending our church. But one of the things that he is really excited about is partnering with us with our school stuff, which first year we did 8 schools, this year we did 20. Next year our goal for 2013 is to do at least 40 schools for the week. And to be able to accomplish that, obviously Preston can't do all of that. He's actually bringing another guy with him, who is, his name's Seth Franco, and he's the only white guy to ever make the Harlem Globetrotters. Does anyone know who the Harlem Globetrotters are? Okay. He's phenomenal, and I just took a little clip of Seth, and so this is Seth, so you can meet Seth, and he's just got a couple of words to say to us as a church. So there you go, that's Seth. He's got an incredible story. Was actually born with a congenital hip issue and required surgery, and ruled him out of being able to jump and run, and was told he wouldn't be able to play basketball again. And while he was in a wheelchair through rehabilitation, he just started doing lots of tricks with basketballs and built up this repertoire of tricks. And then when he was able to be able to walk again, and he pushed through all the pain and obstacles, he went and applied for various roles and different things, and the Harlem Globetrotters picked him up. So he's got a phenomenal story that just really relates well in the school setting, and he'll be here with us at church. You see his routine that he does with basketballs, it just blows your mind what he can do. And so Preston will be here, Seth will be here, and he has his own DJ guy that they incorporate music into their program. But just wanted to give you a heads up that that's who he is, and just please be praying. Actually, Jemima and Ev have been working already really hard on schools, and we've got schools locked in for May next year already. But as I've just said, we want to sort of double what we've done from 20 to 40, if not more, schools. And I believe it's more than possible. And the following year, I've been instructed that Reggie is coming, whether we like it or not. And he goes, Phil, when am I preaching at your church? And anyway, this is the guy that, speaks to, sort of 80,000 people, 10,000 people, 80,000 people, weekends just jam-packed. And he's busting my chops to come and preach here because he's such a good friend and loves us and wants to do schools. And these guys do it all for nothing, mind you. They ask for nothing. They want to pay their own airfares. They ask for nothing. It's just a total God thing. So we've got the potential for the following year to do anywhere between, sort of 50 to 80 schools in the week, if not more, and just really present a message of hope and obviously give kids the opportunity to come to an event where they can hear the gospel message. So I don't know if that excites you or rocks your world, but if it doesn't, then you're spiritually dead. But I don't know, should I tell you what I really think? But if that doesn't rock your world, then I don't know what does. It's just a phenomenal thing. So, look, there's lots of opportunities for us to be involved, which we'll let you know about. If something springs to mind straight away, you've got a good relationship with a school somewhere, then why don't you chat to Jemima? And obviously relationships are such an easier way to gain entrance into schools, and we can't mention the God thing in schools unless we're given permission. But we bring a great message of hope. We're looking to do family nights. while I was over there. We had family nights that ranged from having like 30 to 50 parents in a sort of remote area up to 700 parents came out on a few of the nights. So, you know, it's just a bit of trial and error, but we're going to have another parent night here and probably other areas as well. So there's lots for us to pray about. And so that's a little bit of an insight into 2013 for you, but just wanted to give you a bit of a report on my trip over to the States. So it was a good time. And thank you for your prayers, for those that sent messages and emails and stuff. Really appreciate your prayers. If you don't know, the blokes, we had a barefoot bowls night on Thursday night, and we're going to hurry through that because my star partner, wherever he is, Rodrigo, the man himself that was promoting all this, we didn't fare too well. So all I'm going to say is the blokes had a good night. Let's move on. yes. We won't say who won. Okay, I won't say it, but obviously Michael's on the computer, so he can do whatever he wants. Look, we've had a really interesting year as far as our church goes. I think that you know, we declared and I guess prophetically spoke out that we wanted 2012 to be a why not year. And if you were just to quickly reflect on what this year has been like, you know, and sometimes it's hard as a pastor because sometimes you kind of like you put a lot of emphasis and weight on numbers. And obviously here this morning, it's not the most we've had for the year, but obviously there's a lot more that God does beyond just numbers. But let me just say, this is where I sit with that, is that anything that's healthy should grow. And so if we aren't growing numerically, then we need to ask ourselves some hard questions and be very honest about that, which I believe is a strength of our church. I believe that we're not afraid to ask the hard questions, and you should have received a letter this week and actually inviting your feedback, asking for you to give us some ideas about how we can improve things, what needs to be done possibly, if you're hearing any sort of like, you know, words on the street as to, you know, what people like or don't like about our church. You know, we're not precious about that. Some people are more vocal than others, but, we're welcoming and embracing of that feedback. But I guess the heart behind that letter is to create momentum and real community. It's really hard to do that when people are only here one every 3 weeks or one every 4 weeks. It kind of baffles me that people wonder why, you know, they don't feel that supported, or people didn't know that something was going on in their life when they're only here once every 3 weeks. And if you're only here once every 3 weeks and other people are only here once every 3 weeks, you might not get to see those people again for 6, 9, 12 weeks. So I just don't know. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know how you can develop relationship with people when you see them once every 6, 9, 12 weeks or something like that. And I think that as a family, as a community, that whole area of commitment and just being faithful. And as I said, you know, we make time for what's important in our lives. And, you know, what our focus and emphasis for 2013 is, I believe, is crucial to the ongoing growth of Compass Church. And if I was to reflect quickly, though, and while I'm saying this, maybe there's something that you can think of that has been a highlight for you this year. But my kind of quick checklist that I went through was, we had our whole theme of why not, and the whole series of why not in our faith, in our family, in our work, in our community, with Mr. Andrew Robb being here, in the area of our finances. We had the why not in terms of rebuilding in the Nehemiah series. We had the supernatural series that, you know, the feedback from that was just great, and just people just being challenged and stretched a little bit in regards to their whole understanding and embracing of who the Holy Spirit is and his role and function in our lives. So, you know, that was a highlight for me, as were the Life Story Sundays. I just heard wonderfully, Nikki, wherever you are, there you are. I just heard great feedback, Champ, about you, your courage to share what you did and how you did that. And just keep Nikki in your prayers, because one of her friend's mum was actually a psychologist at the school where the shooting took place, and she lost her life trying to protect people. So just keep Nikki and the whole situation in prayer. I was going to pray, but Troy beat me to it this morning. But, you know, it's such a tragedy, and, that loss of life is just heartbreaking. And as I was standing there this morning as Troy was praying, I think a couple of incidences have occurred in my life that still kind of affect me in different ways now as an adult. And I'm thinking these poor little kids, what they were exposed to, the lifelong trauma and the emotional and psychological issues that they get. You know, we've just got to really pray into that, that as Troy said, what the devil has caused for harm, we just got to pray God's peace and protection over their hearts and minds. You know, those kids, you know, nightmares and stuff, you know, it's just beggars belief. But, you know, that kind of stuff. But for Nikki to get up and share a story, as, you know, Tony Hunt and Andrew De Silva, Andy Kinnersley and Theresa, all sharing their stories, has just been, you know, just a great highlight for me this year. And our Compass Community Care really gaining some traction this year, just doing more, but getting our tax deductibility has just been a great highlight for us as a church. If you're not aware, the amount of work that's required for that is massive. To get the shipping container on site is just another highlight for me and for many others. And if you're not excited about that, it's because you've never been on the setup roster. So if you just go whatever to a shipping container, then we're going to put you on the setup roster so you can truly appreciate that. Our connection with our global perspective area, our missional perspective of church with Malawi and Fiji. And, you know, even this week, you know, just a massive breakthrough for the life of the church in the regards to Malawi is that there was actually a $10,000 donation given by somebody who doesn't even attend our church towards the Malawi project. You know, and it wasn't just a pledge, it was in the bank account 2 days later. So, you know, that's just mind-blowing. You know, and if that's something else that doesn't get you excited, you're spiritually dead. Maybe that's the theme for this morning. If this doesn't get you excited, we might have to do a bit of CPR, jump on your chest or something. But, you know, that is just so exciting. It's just creating that whole project is, it's a step of faith for us as a church because we're not going to commit to something that we don't believe we can follow through on. And we're not going to give false hope. And so, you know, it's just sensational. Our youth leader, Josh and Ev this year, stepping up to the plate. You know, that's just a massive highlight for us as a church and to see these guys playing this morning, and we'll see more of that in years to come. You know, it all stems out of just a heart and passion from young people wanting to serve God, worship God, and it's just very cool. And for me, the highlight would have to be is just you guys, just seeing what's happening in your life. And, you know, some of you frustrate the hell out of me. And, you know, that is, that's okay because I'm sure I frustrate you too. But what excites me is that, like, don't see you as you are, see you as you can be. And I hope that's reciprocated. Hope you see me the way that God wants me to be. And together, isn't that what family's like? Because I tell you what, my brothers and sisters give me the irrits sometimes. That's life. But it doesn't mean I love them any less, and it doesn't mean that I don't want to do life with them. It's just reality of relationships. So, you know, even seeing some people this year out of incredible tragic circumstances, how God has ordained relationship for them to come into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, and to see the transformation in some people's lives in this room that I've been privileged to journey with a bit here and there. It's what it's all about. And it's just been so good to see that transformation in people's lives. But I want to open up to you. Has anyone got any other highlights for you personally this year? Yes. Obviously made a big impact on your life, Troy. Yeah. Running Waters. Yes, yeah, Sitting Bull up the back there. Sitting Bull with his chief, Troy. Cleansing streams is what you're probably trying to say. That's right. Troy's a great advert for the course. If you really would like to do Running Waters or get your streams cleansed or something, then he's the man to talk to about it. I'm glad you didn't call it colon cleansings or something like that, Troy. We appreciate that. So, it was good. Oh, good. Yeah. You're funny. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Very cool. Go, Jemima. Yay. And that's why we have Jemima answer those emails and not Michael. I'm waiting for the writing on the wall, the finger to write. Okay. Last chance. I don't want to cut anyone. Nico. That's cool, Nico. Thank you. Thank you. With so many South Africans, we've all got to learn to say, how's it? How's it? How's it, bro? How's it, bro? Yeah. Yeah. Moving right along to Isaiah 56. Seriously, if you've got your Bibles. Okay, good. Isaiah 56. You can, Lester. Right on, Michael. Bravo. Yes. Isaiah 56. When I was on holidays with the family, I was just really seeking God and just really wanting to know, Lord, what is it that you want us to focus on in 2013? And I'm not into, as you would know, this year was actually the first time ever that we had a theme as such. And why not? It was almost like a throwaway comment from a sermon previously that really sort of captured my spirit and just went, no, why don't we actually just run with that? And I think these holidays, it was just one thing that kept coming back to me and just really hitting me in the face to explore. And it's such a basic fundamental of our faith, but yet something I believe that every single person in this room can grow in the knowledge, the practice of. And we'll come to it in a second. And there's a couple of things I want to highlight before, but this will explain anyway. So Isaiah 56, and I'll start in verse 6. And it says, "And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." And I mean, in this, we do see a missional insight into God's heart for all people groups. From right from the very beginning, and then into Genesis 12, we see that Abraham was to be a blessing to all nations. People call him blessed, and they will wonder and be curious as to why he is so blessed. But threaded throughout the Old Testament, you see time and time again, even the story of Jonah, for example, is probably the most obvious, but there are many others threaded through Scripture of God's heart for all people group, not just for the children of Israel. And he's obviously his blessing primarily rested upon them, but that was going to be a sign, if you like, the people of choice that would show and demonstrate God's blessing and power on their lives. But we see even here God's heart for the nations, plural, not just nation, but the nations. And the phrase here that really has captured my heart and spirit for us as a church is, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations," but a house of prayer. It's saying, you know, my house will not be called a house of lights, production, performance, media. My house will not be a house of, you know, preaching and proclamation. We don't see that. Those things are important to varying degrees, but what we're told here is that God's house will be a house of prayer. And then again in Matthew 21 verse 13, Jesus is actually going in and realizing what the temple, what the synagogue had become. And in 21:13 it says, "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." And so here the tables are turned. Jesus turns the tables and he wants people to get back to the fundamental, the thing that it is meant to be all about. That prayer, that relationship, that connectedness, that intimacy, just that closeness with God that comes through prayer. And I know that when I was playing footy and I played at varying levels and whatever, but whenever we kind of like would come up against a good opposition and we were trying to do our fancy stuff and put these fancy game plays into action and they were falling apart, all that kind of stuff, the coach would get us aside at quarter time, half time, whenever, and just go, right, let's just get back to basics. Let's just do the one percenters. Let's just get back to basics and then we can regroup and we can then think about maybe some more complex game plans. And I think sometimes the life that we get caught up in can be so complex and so busy. And sometimes I think it's important for us to get back just to the raw basics of what it's meant to be about. And I think the simplicity and the rawness of that can actually bring about a great freshness, because it's within that and from out of that that we get a fresh perspective on things. Does that make sense? Cool. So, like, obviously, when we come together as a group of people, we're called to be disciples. We're called to make disciples. And we're called to be those followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to become like Jesus' brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of the Most High God. And when we do have the clarity of that revelation and the significance of that revelation, that really, it doesn't matter how I feel, the facts are Jesus died for my sins and I am forgiven. That's the facts. It's not whether I feel it or not. They are the facts. That when I confess Christ as Lord of my life, I am a son of the Most High God. Circumstances don't change that. How I feel don't change that. They are the facts. And I think that there is a great freedom that comes with that, because then I begin to realize that, wow, you know, I don't need to be tied down by the pressures of this world. I don't have to get caught up in the possessions or the obsessions or the addictions of this world when I know just the pure simple fact is that I have don't have to do anything else. I'm already accepted as a son of the Most High God, and this place that we're in is a temporary residence that's leading us on to a greater future. Does that make sense? So there's a great freedom that comes with that. But whilst we are here on this earth, we're called to be disciples, growing in our likeness and in the image of who Jesus Christ is. I say that a lot. You know, the objective of our faith is not happiness. The objective of our faith is to become more like Christ, and happiness will be a byproduct of that at times. But can't expect to be happy all the time, because that's just not life. But what happens with discipleship, it's got to be partnered with discipline. And it's interesting that the word disciple and discipline come from the same root word, which is discere, which means to learn from. So to be a disciple and to be disciplined means to learn from, or it has the same root word. And discipline without discipleship, if we're just all about strict discipline, it leads to rigid legalism. It's just, it's restrictive. And it's all about just rules and regulations. It's all about doing this, doing that. And then the converse of discipleship without discipline leads to sentimental romanticism. It's just having this kind of feel-good feeling that, you know, with Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And really, you know what, I should just go with the flow and just, it'll just happen. And that's just like, you know, romantic idealism, sentimental romanticism. There is a book I'm reading at the moment that is just feeding my spirit and soul like I haven't found for a long time. And the author is Henry Nouwen, or Henri Nouwen, depending on how you pronounce it. And he's actually a Roman Catholic theologian, significant voice in the last century when it comes to spiritual formation, and he titles them the movements that we go through in our progression of becoming more and more like Christ. And this is one of the things, this is a paragraph that he has that I think encapsulates this whole balance of discipline and discipleship. The various disciplines of the spiritual life are meant for freedom and are reliable means for the creation of helpful boundaries in our lives, so that God's voice can be heard, God's presence felt, and God's guidance experienced. Do you get that? So the disciplines of our spiritual life are not there to be restrictive, but they're actually to put the boundaries in place to create the freedom for us to be able to hear, to see, to experience God for who He is. I like that. Without such boundaries that make space for God, our lives quickly narrow down We hear and see less, we become spiritually sick, and we become one-dimensional and sometimes delusional people. The only remedy for this is the intentional practice of prayer and meditation. So in 2013, the emphasis, the sole focus and emphasis for us as a church is simply going to be prayer. Prayer. And you know, we know that Jesus spent a third of his life praying, teaching, doing miracles, if you were to break his ministry life up. So if Jesus had to get himself away and pray, then how much more do we need to do that? And some people sit here, well, I've heard a lot of sermons about prayer. Why do we have to do prayer again? Well, I don't want to be rude, but if we were praying, how do I say it? Because I'm not trying to say if we pray more things will happen, but I believe that there is a power, and I'll come to it in a second, something significant of the transformational process in us as individuals takes place when we truly grasp prayer, that the outworkings of that will be that we will reap fruit. And the fact is, in our lives, me included, and I'm at the head of this. I'm putting my hand up, and maybe this is more for me than anybody else in this room. I've been blessed to see God work through me to see people come to Christ this year outside of Compass Church. But yet I believe that's a responsibility, and it's part of our mandate for all of us to be involved in that to some degree. And so I believe that, like, if we did actually have the grasp on prayer, then I believe the fruit in our lives would be significantly different. I believe there's something we can always learn about prayer. I don't believe it's something that we can kind of like say, I've got it all wrapped up. And so my definition of prayer is simply the intentional, concentrated, and regular effort to create space for God. The intentional, concentrated, and regular effort to create space for God. We all know it's about communicating with God. And I've already got a whole bunch of sermons for next year that relate to different ways in which we can create space, but ways in which you can actually engage and connect with God through prayer. Why? Because the way in which I pray and my rhythm of prayer, or how I work in prayer, or how I engage with God in prayer, probably won't work necessarily for you, and vice versa. And so I don't believe it's a one-size-fits-all. But I believe that I have the responsibility as your pastor to present a range of options and different ways for you to experience that. Maybe next year, could it just be possible that you could go into sort of like a greater, deeper sense of intimacy with God than you've ever had before? And when you're in that space, it's not about a list of this, wanting this or that or whatever. It just becomes about just being with Jesus, and out of the transformation of that, what will happen out of your life. Sounds cool. Why? Because I believe that the world tries to keep us so busy. I reckon it's one of the modern tactics of the devil is to keep us so busy. So busy. I mean, what about, you know, the stuff that we try to pack in our hearts and minds, and there's just so much stuff. It's like, hey, Phil, look at this. Hey, read this. Check out this email. Have you seen this YouTube clip? Hey, what's happening on Facebook? Get a life. What about Twitter? And then you've got, you know, other websites. Hey, check this out. Have you seen this? And the video clip. Have you read this article? Hey, what you've got? Check out this report. Hey, let's catch up. Why don't we get a coffee? Hey, like, you know, yeah, there's this new place we can go get coffee. And in the midst of all of that, how do we focus when we get so busy? When we get so caught up in the busyness of life, how do we actually focus? How do we actually truly focus on Matthew 6, 33 to 34, which says, do not set your heart on all these things, but set your heart on God's kingdom first. Seek first his kingdom, and then all these things will be given to you as well. So how do we focus on that? And I believe that prayer is a key part of that. Working out what does that look like in your personal life, but also what does it look like for us as a church community together? I don't know if you've ever experienced a church prayer meeting, and we have prayer meetings on Friday mornings, but pre-service prayer. I'm not sure if you've ever experienced that or just come and sat. You don't have to pray, but I just love being around other people praying. There's just something powerful about that. I think there's something beautiful about it. So we're talking about intentional. We're talking about concentrated. We're talking about regular effort, because that's what we're saying discipline is. Discipline is being intentional, concentrated, and regular. And just on that, Michael, I'm just going to get Michael to come and have a chat to us as well, because you know he's got some things that he just wants to add about this kind of being intentional and concentrated and being regular.
So, fibre. Just keep things ticking along. So I had an interesting experience at the gym this week. It's as tends to happen at our facility when it gets really, really hot. My air conditioner just blows up, and it gets really, really, really hot inside the gym. And so I do everything I can, which is ring the air conditioning man and ask him to come, and then ring him the next day and wondered why he didn't come when he said he would, and then ring him the next day. And so we play this little game, and you know, it all goes well. And meanwhile, I have everyone going, "Oh, did you know it's a bit hot in here?" Like, I'm aware, I've been here since five. You know, and, but everyone in general is pretty good. And, you know, I had this experience where we have a lot of our clients come in, you know, two or three times a week. And there's a few people who just come in semi-regularly. I had a lady who comes in, and she might come in once a month for half an hour. Just sporadic. She doesn't want to overtrain, so she's easing her way into it over the last 5 years, and you know, really doing an amazing job. And so I'd been to a pretty nasty, unpleasant funeral that day, and it was 40 degrees, and I was aware that it was hot. And at some point in the afternoon, she decided to bail me up and share her opinion with me on how hot it was and what I should do about it. And every little piece of me wanted to suggest to her, if she lost 30 kilos, it wouldn't be so hot. But I reined that in, and I asked her, does she know how to fix the air conditioner? And she said no, and I said, well, neither do I. So short of, you know, calling the man to come and fix this, there's not much I can do. If you've got another suggestion, you know, let me know. And it just made me think. One, it made me very angry, but it just made me think. Sometimes, you know, people want to provide us with feedback, and sometimes people have suggestions. And one of the things I've realised in my life is I don't really care what a majority of people think about me. Not that I say I don't care about you guys, but you know, I have a few really close people in my life, and when they provide me with feedback, I take it on board. When people that don't really know me provide me with feedback, I just kind of go, okay, thanks, and you know, just let it slide on through. And it's the same at work. When people who come in regularly and train regularly and have been a part of our culture and have been a part of our business for quite a while come and provide me with feedback, I'm genuinely open to it, and I'm happy to hear what they have to say. When people who come in once in a blue moon come in and provide feedback, I've got to be honest, it just kind of slides out into the suggestion bin, that round suggestion bin that lives under my desk. And I was talking to Phil about it, and I just kind of went, you know what, I reckon it's the same with church. Like, if our goal is to have a church of people who are plugged in, who are passionate about, not Compass, because we want people to be passionate about God, and the byproduct of that is they become passionate about what God is doing in his church. We want people who are plugged in. Like, one of the good things about some of that feedback, and Troy, thank you for sharing numerous times, Troy's feedback, though, was that he said he got connected into a life group. And next year, one of the things that we want to do is we want to invest in people who are serious about God and serious about seeing Compass grow, not because we're looking for a big church, but we're looking for a church that has a big impact. And so we're looking for a whole bunch of people who are going to get on board, be a part of a life group, be on a roster, people who are going to be here regularly, sowing into the community, because it's not just about you. It's not just about you coming and having a good time. It's about you coming and helping other people. It's about you coming in connecting with other people. So my long-winded story is, don't come and speak to me when your air conditioner's busted, because I don't care. And two, we're really looking next year for a whole bunch of people who are going to just commit to getting on board what God is doing, not just in this place, but in the community. People who are genuinely going to not just say they're going to partner with us, but people who are really going to partner with us. And one of the ways we see that with bums on seats, we see that with going to a life group, being on a roster, helping out with community care, whatever that is for you. So if maybe that's for you, that's an area that this year hasn't been a strong point, then I would challenge you to seriously consider making next year a year where you just commit to having a big crack with your faith, a big crack with God, and a big crack with us.
Thanks, Michael. It's not a good stand, that one. So, intentional, concentrated, regular effort. It does take effort, obviously, to be here on a Sunday, to be involved in a life group, those sort of things. And I think that, I might have mentioned this in the letter, that I think we're quite casual and relaxed about in certain aspects of the culture of the church. And yet then that overflows into other areas of the church, which, you know, we can't compromise on. So I think that sometimes when we start to deal with those things or raise those things, it can, get people's attention. So I hope that's got your attention, because I believe there are certain aspects of our culture that need to change in terms of making that impact within the life of our community. Does that make sense? And, if you have any questions, then great. But just want to get into, just to wrap up this morning, just this whole concept of prayer for 2013. And this is a paragraph that really resonated with me. So maybe it's for nobody else in this room except for me, but you might get something from it. A life without a quiet center easily becomes delusional. When we cling to the results of our actions as our only way of self-identification, we become possessive, defensive, and dependent on false identities. In the solitude of prayer, got to listen to this, in the solitude of prayer, we slowly unmask the illusion of our dependencies and our possessiveness, and discover in the center of our own self that we are not what we can control or conquer, but what is given to us from God to channel to others. In solitary prayer, we become aware that our identity does not depend on what we have accomplished or possess, that our productivity does not define us, and that our worth is not the same as our usefulness. That's pretty full on, and it's a bit Dr. Phil for a Sunday morning, but, I think the whole concept of what can actually happen in the place of prayer, and maybe for some of us in 2013, it may be a matter of adopting some principles. Maybe it's a matter of challenging some of our paradigms and concepts of prayer. But for me, it's about being intentional, concentrated, and regular effort to create space for God. And so can I propose, I think one of the best definitions I've seen of prayer in a very long time is that prayer is wasting time with God. Prayer is wasting time with God. So I want one of your goals for 2013 just to be ready to waste some time. Waste some time. Because even when we take away the list of stuff that we want to bring to God, I believe, again, this might just be me, I believe there's times when we come with just even some expectations of what we want out of the prayer time. Say, you know, do I expect just to sense God's presence? Do I expect to hear from God in some way? Do I expect to see God in a different way? And is it possible, and this is where it might actually mess with your head a little bit, but is it possible just to sit and just to waste time with God? To not have a list, to not have expectations. Because the world says, hey, if you're not using your time wisely, and if you're not filling your time up, and if you're not busy with stuff, then you're useless. It's a waste of time. But doesn't Jesus say, just come and sit with me? Come and spend some waste some time with me. Just some useless time. Where you can just sit and the problem with that is because we are so busy, when we are sitting and trying to waste time with God, we've got all these thoughts that are racing through our head and distracting. I believe God's given me some keys on how we can address that individually and how I can address that better so that I can come and just sit. Because this is where I'd like us to go in one of the areas of our prayer next year, is that we can just in our own space and maybe together occasionally just come without an agenda without expectations, but just simply just to sit and waste time with God. How good would it be to be able to get to that place of like that place of just being with God, not being caught up in the doing, but just being with God, so we just sit with Him, we waste time with Him. I believe that's when the greatest level of transformation can take place in our hearts. Because that's where the greatest level of rawness and honesty and transparency, that's when our guard is let down to the biggest degree, when we're just sitting there and just going, I'm just being with God. I think that's really hard for me to get my head around, and as I've been trying to do it, it's not easy. And I'm sure there are people in this room that are probably going, I'm not sure if I get what you mean by that, Phil. But it's just sort of about getting unbusy. It's about kind of going, I'm willing to spend some useless time with Jesus, some wastesome time with Jesus. So I don't know where you're at with that, but I think there's some pretty cool things that can come out of it, because it's in that space that I believe the transformation will occur, that then causes us and allows us to become more like Jesus, so we will be more fruitful in what we do. So the list of things that we would otherwise take, we don't worry, because we're actually seeking first the kingdom of God. And He says, you know what, I'll take care of that. Just come and be with me. Do you mean I just have to sit and be in silence and not think? It's mission impossible for some of us, we think. But just to go, wow, if I can get to that space of just me and God, wonder what could actually happen. So some ideas that we've got for next year, as I said, you know, the sermon series and how we want to structure things, want to do things a little bit differently. But if you're not aware, but from January the 10th next year, so even before we start church, you can write this down. Some of us are looking to do a 21-day fast. So from the 10th to the 31st of Jan, we're just going to have a 21-day fast. If that's too big for you to grasp, Seth actually raised this with me when I was there. He goes, Phil, this is really weird. But Big John and myself, we've been praying for you guys, and the school's tour in May already, and God's laid something on our heart to do. And He says, we're going to fast 1 week in January, and then we're going to fast the first 3 days of each month after that. So in total for the year, that's 40 days that they're praying and fasting for. And the key emphasis of that is for the school's tour when they come with us. But maybe that's something you've never thought of, that if you do a week's fast in Jan, and then just pick the first 3 days of the month, next year, then it will total 40 days. Maybe that's something that you want to consider. If the 21-day fast thing is too much, don't forget you can partial fast in that. But next year, what I want you to do is to find your rhythm of prayer that suits you, that model, that method. Call it what you like, but want you to be able to come on a journey with us, and hopefully we can provide you with some tools and equip you so that you can actually start to get into your own rhythm of prayer like you've never done before. I think it's the fruit of that will be mind-blowing. We're going to talk about aspects of prayer and encourage you to come on that journey. And to do that, it's intentional. You've got to be concentrated, taking regular effort. And in our prayer life, you know, one of the things that God's challenged me about, and for us as a church, I believe, is that when was the last time in our prayer did we pray, Lord, how can I be an answer to somebody else's prayer? In your prayer times, how often do you say that? How can I be the answer to somebody else's prayer? Or is it always all about us? God, I need this. Hey, God, I need you to move in this situation. Father, I need you, like, really want to see this person come to know you and stuff like that. But do we actually say, God, how can I be the answer to somebody else's prayer? Because you can be, and we should be. You hearing me? And Malawi is a classic example of that. For them, Mission Impossible was to buy land and have a property and a building. God orchestrated divine appointments for some people in Australia to bump into people from Canada and around the world to end up in Malawi. And now the reality of their dream is happening. So we've been the answer to somebody's prayer, as Paul was saying earlier. How cool is that? That you and I, we've been the answer to somebody's prayer. God, how is this going to happen? I don't know how this is going to happen. And we've been the answer to that prayer. That's pretty cool. The last thing that I'm going to say is that when it says my house will be a house of prayer for all nations, for me, again, it represents God's heart for all people. And I believe that when we partner the priority of prayer with personal evangelism, it will equal and significantly impacting year for you and for others. So my call to you this year, as for 2013, sorry, for you and for me, is simply that if you take this intentional, purposeful, concentrated effort of prayer that we're going to provide different opportunities for, if you do that, and we're going to provide the opportunity to do some personal evangelism training for everybody and encourage everybody, all we can do is provide you with the opportunities. Whether you take them or not, then that's your call. But this is how convicted and challenged I am about this whole thing, is that when we put prayer and we partner it with personal evangelism and spreading the gospel, I believe every single one of you in this room can see somebody come to Christ next year. Every single one of you. And that doesn't mean they have to end up at Compass. But they end up being a part of the body of Christ, and maybe they're connecting at another church somewhere else. But you can see. I don't know if you've led someone to Christ in this year. Well, there's somebody in your life that you've led to Christ. Maybe it was, you know, in the last 5 years, there's been one or two. Maybe you never have. Then I believe that next year's your year. Then I believe that when we pray, let me ask you this. Do you believe that prayer is part of God's plan for your life? Yep. Do you believe that telling others about him is part of God's plan for your life? Okay, so we don't have to pray, God, is this your will? It is his will. So we're just going, when we pray and when we kind of make a concerted effort towards personal evangelism, God's going to be in on it. And okay, this is it. This is not a sensationalist claim, and this is not an outrage. Well, it's outrageous, but this is not to shock value. I say this because I'm fully persuaded about and convicted about this. Next year, if you take this seriously and you don't see somebody come to Christ, hear me clearly on this. If you do not see someone come to Christ next year, if you adopt these principles, then I'm resigning as a senior pastor of this church in December next year. That's how much I believe in this. You go, oh, that's a bit much. Well, God, no, because we're talking about people facing a Christless eternity. We're talking about us being so ridiculously blessed that like when we start to pray and we start to say, God, give me a heart for the lost, God's going to be in on that. I am so convinced that God's in on it. I'm not nervous about you not doing it, unless you don't get off your butt and do it. And then I'll have to kick your butt and then say, come on, it's November, get your act into gear. But no, seriously, I am fully persuaded. And if you're kind of going, I've never led anyone to Christ, then I'm excited for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. But like, so somebody here might be thinking, hey, at last, there's a way to get rid of Pastor Phil. I'm just not going to see somebody get saved and we'll be right. No, but, and I'm going to buy a new thing this week. Thanks, honey. But there you go. Prayer next year, partner with personal evangelism. But the prayer model that I believe we're called to adopt is going to bring significant change in your life and in the life of this community and beyond. I'm fully, fully persuaded that that's the truth. So that's our theme for 2013, and everyone's very quiet. And so I don't know whether it's like, you know, not as exciting as you were hoping it was going to be, but it is what it is. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. That, Lord, sometimes we do complicate things. Sometimes we made things harder than what they have to be. That, Lord God, this morning, that I just thank you that you are so committed to us, that we fall so short in so many different ways, but you're always there. I thank you that you're committed to us as individuals and us as a church, that your plan for your church is for it to flourish and to thrive and to grow. Lord God, for us to become disciplined disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. And so help us to do that in 2013, I pray. Lord, I believe that we just speak out that we will focus on prayer, Father God. We will pursue this with a passion, Lord God, next year. That, Lord God, what you've called us to, Lord God, when we really grasp the power and the significance of prayer, the change that that can bring around is staggering, Father. Thank you. People in this room are maybe going to see a friend or a family member come to Christ and they've never had that privilege before. There's no greater thing, Lord, than for us to be able to be on the journey and see somebody come to know you and give their life to you. So, Father, this morning, I pray a blessing over your people this morning. I pray that you would just, Lord God, give us a great week. Help us to reach out to those that need you. And, Lord God, we just ask your blessing, your wisdom, and your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, have a fantastic week, guys. Great to have you in church. Don't forget, Carol's next Sunday. We weren't able to advertise Andrew De Silva on our flyer because he was possibly going to be in Sydney, but he's actually going to be back for us. He's really wanting to be back, so he'll be here next Sunday morning. He'll be singing with Judd, who's our other guest artist, and it's going to be a great morning. So do your best to invite friends along, and let's just really celebrate our last service for 2012. My goodness. Love you heaps. Have a great day. See you next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.